Today's scripture is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 32. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone. And the boat was already considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed down into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped them, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God."
Good morning. Hopefully everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We are able to roll over here today and be together. Our family did a very strange thing this holiday. We ended up eating yesterday. So Diane, I think she thought that, hey, that'll make Thursday a little easier and Friday a little easier. And we found out that we were just working the whole week for Saturday, making the dishes and cleaning the house and getting things together. But we really had a nice time, and it was great to be with my grandfather, who is almost 91, and my parents and all my two brothers and several other folks, and we had a great time. And my niece, we had a great time cheering on the Buckeyes, OH. And watching them give you once again another heart attack, and but pull it out and do a great job. We have so much to be thankful for, and I wanted to share a message from Jessica McCoy. I was trying to get it on a video for us, but she's just not been able to do that. Jessica, for those of you who don't know, is a young single mother with six kids, and as a terminal diagnosis of cancer. And it's very active in her, and she is just not doing well. But she sends a message to this church, and she has been here for a couple different things from time to time. But she considers this her church because the people, you, have reached out in such a beautiful, wonderful way to her. And she feels so blessed when people come to bring her stuff on Saturday, or if people stop over another day to visit. She feels so blessed that we think and love her in such a great way. In the last 3 months, I think she said she's been in the hospital about 6 weeks of that time. And so she's not doing well. But she sends her love, she sends her thanks, and her blessings to us. She's trying very hard to make it to the ornament party next week, which was kind of a surprise to me. So I know you will make her feel welcome and make her feel very blessed at that. So I want to keep her in our prayers, and I ask you to do that. But I told her I would share that message with you, and again, She has hope, and she has a great feeling about what she's doing and what she's going through, and she's very grateful to God's people for reaching out to her in a great way. There's a song that's been on the radio, and we've actually sung it at the Belper Youth Rally and some other places, and it's called Oceans, and it's by a group called Hillsong. And As that kind of happens from time to time, you hear a song and you like it for a while, and then it just gets kind of annoying. And then it just, to me, the song just, like, we would sing it over and over and over and over, just that chorus, just like they do on the thing. But about 3 weeks ago, there was a little thing on the radio that says, hey, here's the meaning behind the song. And I thought, well, I'm going to listen to this because I cannot figure what that's about. And the meaning behind the song was what was read to us today, about Peter looking to Jesus and reaching out to him. I never put that together. I never understood that. But now that I've heard that and realized that, the song makes so much more sense to me. And actually, I enjoy listening to it again because I realize that keeping your eyes on Jesus is what brings about life and peace and comfort for us as Christians. And so I listen to that song in a new meaning nowadays. This picture is not a self-portrait, but it's a picture of what I think about during the holidays, how life can be. And at our house, when we first got married, the calendar, we got married in October, and the end of October, and the calendar for January for December was just made out. There was something, at least something every day and sometimes more. And I remember somebody in our house was on the verge of a mental breakdown because we could not get stuff done at the house. And she said very calmly last week as she finished putting things on the calendar that not this week, but next week, there's a week on the calendar where there is something every night but Thursday. So I encourage you to invite Diane to do something on that Thursday night to make it a perfect week of something to do. But life gets crazy and life gets stressful. And as I thought about the song Oceans, and I thought about some other things happening around me and with me, I thought about what does it take to have peace? If you probably remember the song from a long time ago, Let There Be Peace on Earth and Let It Begin With Me. Remember that? What a beautiful tune that is. I think they even had it on a Coke commercial for a short time as well. But it was a song that I remember my grandmother loved. It was a song that just was beautiful. And it threw out a plea that most of us want. Let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. It's a prayer that we need to have, that we can be those peaceful people that can help bring that about. In the big picture, we all want peace in the world. We all want peace in our community. We want peace in our family. When you get them all together, it can be a little crazy. We want peace in our family, and we all want peace in ourselves. But we have to realize that no matter what it is, those other pieces cannot be peaceful unless we have peace within ourselves. No matter how we work it, if we don't have peace in our lives, we cannot enjoy life. No matter what we possess, whether it's our youth, our health, our beauty, our money, or an amazing job, or living in an amazing community, none of that stuff in itself can bring you peace. If that's all you have, if that's just all that you have, it can be a nightmare. I shared in our class this morning that on Facebook this last week, I viewed a couple conversations from people that most of us know, and how the week was awful, and the week was just terrible. Things were happening, and things were a wreck in their lives. In my head, I noticed and wanted to reply, but did not. A lot of your things are because Christ is no longer the center of your picture, the center of your world. And because of that, you have lots of chaos and you have lots of stress in your world. And so there are lots of things that steal our peace, a lot of external forces like TV, radio, computer. Isn't it kind of nice just to drive sometimes without the radio? With all the crazy? Even if it's a Christian radio, sometimes it's just nice to have peace so you can think on your own. Sometimes our family steals our peace. Sometimes our work, emails, bills, responsibilities, current events, carnal desires, worldly temptations, even the weather can steal our peace. And sometimes they're very overwhelming. So it's not always internal, but sometimes it's the external things as well. Many of you remember the years in my office where I had a Sam-sized bottle of Pepto-Bismol in my office. Because of life and how my stomach dealt with life sometimes. Pepto and Alka-Seltzer, all those things help to medicate, but they don't solve the problem if you don't have peace in your life. Yoga, alcohol, massages, self-help, psychologists, all of those things will not come together unless you can get the peace that only God can give. I want to share a story of a man that some of you know. His name is Jeff Gibbs, and he was a dentist. He went on our mission trips with us several times, and he went on other mission trips as well to different countries around the world. Wonderful guy. Great sense of humor, great love for people and for his family. When he switched equipment in his dental office, and he sent all of that equipment down to Honduras. Then he went down to Honduras and set it all up for the clinic down there. Just incredible, incredible giving man. Grew up, I think, at the Fishinger Kenny Church. And he married, has a beautiful family of three young men. A little over a year ago, Jeff went to the doctor and found from the doctor that he had a very fast growing cancer and that it would be terminal and that there was no surviving it. And you know, I'm sure as you think about that, when you would get those words, what your reactions would be. There are people in this room who have had a similar diagnosis of facing such a thing. But Jeff, as was shared at his service, he went home and he told his family that he told his family the news, and then he called his minister and a couple close friends to come to their house. He wanted them to meet with him and his wife. And Jeff said he wanted to go out at the end of his life with these three goals completed. And the first one was that his relationship with Carol, his wife, would be paramount and complete, and that he would be a great example to his sons. The second was that he would be able to spend incredible quality time with his sons. And the third was that his relationship with Christ would be most important and most blessed in his life. He had a faith that was incredible. He would share, you know, on our trips and different things. But over what turned out not to be even a year, he lived a great example of peace. He lived a great example of Christ to his boys and to his wife. And as Diane and I attended his service a couple weeks ago, as he did pass away, it was an incredible testament to the peace that he had totally in his life, but especially over the last year. And I was always amazed at his attitude and his good sense of being. And it was because his eyes were focused on Christ. His eyes were totally, and his life was all about his relationship with Christ, keeping his eyes on that goal. And I share that story, yes, to raise up a great witness for us, but to let us know that this man of 56 years lived a great, by all means, privileged life, but he served and he loved and he gave. And one of the things that happened, Jeff was a very giving person, as I said, and a very community-minded person, but he came to the point where he couldn't give. He couldn't do for others. He couldn't even do for his family. He couldn't even do for himself as the cancer spread, and that was hard for him. And as the minister shared at his service, he said that God loved Jeff when he could, but God said to Jeff, "You don't have to do anymore. You just have to enjoy me." And that was one of Jeff's goals, that he wanted to spend his last year totally involved in Christ. You just have to enjoy me. That's all God wanted Jeff to be and do. So as we think about these things, that people who are handling life with grace and calmness in the midst of chaos and crisis, what do they possess? They possess faith and a strong prayer life. I wanted to read to you these two paragraphs, if you would bear with me just for a minute. It says, faith simply means believing that something is true and then committing our lives to it. In the Bible, faith means believing in God and what Christ has done for us to make our salvation possible, and then committing ourselves to Him. In other words, faith has two parts to it, and both are equally important. The first part is belief. Belief that God exists and that He loves us and sent His Son into the world to save us. Faith isn't a vague hope that God might exist. It is a definite belief that what the Bible says about Him is true. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. The second part of faith is commitment. A definite decision not only to believe in our minds that Christ can save us, to put our lives into His hands and trust Him alone for our salvation. True faith not only believes Christ can save us, but actually trusts Him to do it. The Bible says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith." I love that explanation, and it was off of a page of the Billy Graham page on Facebook. But I found it to be a very good thing, because not only is it believing, but it's believing and committing to God in a great way. And the other thing about faith and people who survive chaos in a great way is that they pray. That they spend time in prayer, that they ask people to pray for them, that they lift their thoughts and their concerns up to God and give them to Him and then leave them with Him. One of the things about our faith is that when we become a Christian, is that we have to change our actions, we have to leave the old man and start with the new life. We talked about this in class. If our class leaves this morning, it's because they've already heard this part. So from Colossians chapter 3, it says, "Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature." So you are... Hey, she wasn't in my class. So you're risen anew, starting a new life, so you put to death those old things. Whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all of these things. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its old practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, slave or free, but Christ is all and is all and in all. But this is how we live. When we put those things away, we put in the life of Christ. Therefore, as Christ's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bear with one another, forgive one another. And if anybody has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. So those are things that pull us together and help us to be that new person and have peace when we don't live in the old life. An illustration of what we're talking about, putting on the new life, is kind of an ugly one. So I'm just warning you ahead of time. The next slide shows something that hopefully you don't see and don't see very often, but it's mildew. Have you ever seen mildew? For those of us who have been on the Katrina, Todd's shaking his head. If you've been on a Katrina trip, how quick that water turned into mildew and mold in the houses. and then other places you find it as well. When you find this mildew, you think you can just wash it down and get bleach it off and then paint over it, but it comes right back. And the only way that you can get rid of it for good is to find the source. Find that wet spot. Find where that water is coming in and fix it. Then paint and repair, and then it becomes new and corrected again. And that's the same way in our lives. We cannot keep living the old. We can't cover it up with nice words, kind words. We have to change our lives. We have to change our actions. We have to change our attitudes and be more like Christ in order to have the peace that He gives. The next slide shows the things about stress, and I know you can't read all of those. But there's so many things up there that cause stress and craziness in our lives. And most of the time, it's because we focus on the negative. We focus on the negative. I try so hard not to focus on the negative, but sometimes it becomes very overwhelming. And sometimes that's what you do, and that's where you're at. But sometimes we got to refocus, keep our eyes off of all the things that happens, and listen to what God says. What God says is, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, as Jesus said, that we need to trust Him. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So back to the boat, back to Peter. Peter and the disciples represented humanity. They were tossed about. They were facing suffering, anxiety in this storm. And then here comes Jesus walking on the water. God offered peace, and He offers us peace as well. He suspended Peter in the water, and none of the elements had any power over him. He was untouchable. Peter was untouchable because Christ was with him and watching him and taking care of him. But Peter faltered for two reasons. One of them was that he stopped walking to the Lord. He recognized where he was. And so many times when we try to do things ourselves, we lose our way. We completely lose our way because we're not walking toward the Lord. And the second reason was that Peter stopped looking at the Lord. He was looking at the winds, he became overwhelmed, and he had no chance on his own, and he knew it. He knew that he had no chance. So when Peter focused his mind and heart and soul on the Lord, he was able to walk on the water. But walking on the water didn't mean that he could stop the sea from rising or the wind from blowing. It meant that he was able to stay above the waves and overcome the storm. Because we're Christians, because we're walking with Christ, doesn't mean the storms aren't going to come. Because the storms come, and they come hard, and they come fast sometimes. And we know that we have to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we can stay above it. Yes, we're still in it, but we can stay above it because of Him. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22 to 26 says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace.'" 2 Thessalonians says, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself give you peace at all times and in every way. And the Lord be with you." So peace comes from a relationship with God. Peace comes from living and acting appropriately in God's way. The next picture, as you look at your communication card, we don't want to look like that. I think some people try to look like that on purpose sometimes. But we don't want to look that way. We don't want to look all stressed out. We don't want to be stressed out. We want to have peace that God gives us. So on your communication card today, you can memorize Matthew 14:27. You could read those verses, or you could take the Lord Save Me challenge. And those verses, verse 30 says, "But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You of little faith,' he said, 'why did you doubt?'" The Lord Save Me challenge tells us just to look to God and ask Him for help. When we get in situations that are beyond our beyond our grasp, what seems to be most of them, we need to look to God and say, Lord, save me. Keep that in your pocket. Keep that in your purse. Keep it in your mind. Pull it out. When you find yourself in a situation, reach out to the Lord to save you. He did it for Peter, and he can do it for us as well. As we finish up this lesson today, it's a hectic time of the year, and sometimes it's because of choices we make and choices we don't make. The choices we don't make are choices we made. Anyway, but we find ourselves in very... Scott's like, yeah. Stress is something that happens to us, and most of the time it's because our faith is not where it could be, should be, in the hands of Jesus. I think of Jeff Gibbs, and I think about the probably maybe 1,000 people from his community that were at his service, who he touched in so, so many ways. And I think about what was said about his life and what I saw in his life as I interacted with him over the years. I realized that I want badly what Jeff had. Jeff is now in the hands of God, and I'm sure he's busy up there. He had a great sense of humor. One of the things that that was said by one of his friends who he worked out with every day, they'd get to the gym, he said, here's the plan for today. We're going to start out slow and then taper off. I'd like to have worked out with Jeff. I think I could have done that workout. But that was just the type of humor he has, and just the type of life. He was at peace. He was with God. There are several people in our church who have that peace because they've walked a long time with God. They've dealt with a lot of family situations that force them to trust God in a great way. As we get older, as we go through our trials, as we go through our things that happen to us, we need to have that peace that only God can give. It requires us to walk in His path, to be like Him, and to do our best to stay in His way and keep our eyes on Him. But it also relies on the God who loves us more than anything else, more than anybody else, and wants so badly for us to love Him and stay with Him. So today, as you pick your card and fill it out and pass it to the side here in just a second, I want us all to think about keeping that Lord save me. Keep that out. Keep that ready. There's so many opportunities when life hits us square in the face, and we need just to look and say, Lord, save me, because He's the only one who can. Today, if you have a need to respond to the gospel of Jesus, to put Jesus on as your Lord and Savior and the ruler of your life, and to take away your sins and start that new life, if that's something you need to do this day, we'd love to help you with that. But if there's prayers that we can offer for you and put before the Lord today, we'd love to do that as well. Just make it known as we stand and sing.